The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy Morgan. So Russ, a couple weeks ago, I sent you a very simple text. It said two words, be present. Now, one, I need to understand how successful were you at doing this? And then two, explain why I would ever send you that.
Well, right before you sent that to me, I had sent you a text. I don't know if Bermuda's going to work. You heard Alan's response. I would not go to Bermuda if we did this. Now, that's kind of a coded text, but that's you and I talking about taking our team on a trip to Bermuda. And you send that response back to me, be present, was like a slap in the face. It said, Russ, wake up, bro. You're at home. Quit thinking about work.
Ah, okay. I couldn't remember the timing of that. So that makes sense now. Yeah. So that's why I sent it to you. But why? This has become a very important thing for us, right? Yeah. You and I have been talking about this. The wealth is under our roof. The wealth that each of us have is under our one roof. And sometimes it's very easy to miss that. We get focused in on the wrong things. And isn't that the issue that most entrepreneurs are facing today?
It is. We are so caught up in our businesses and growing a business. And usually that happens in this 30 to 50 year, you know, age gap there. And that's also when our kids are in our households. And we're constantly battling this want to be the provider, wanting to be the one that is creating. But also at the same time, we've got lives happening underneath our noses and we can easily miss them.
Well, and I think what has driven me and you both just talking about this is regret. Mm. Like, not that we regret it today, but how many people do we know that are in their 50s and 60s and they're looking back and saying, man, I just missed out on a lot of life with my kids.
Well, think about it. You and I played golf with two older guys the other day. They're in their 70s. They love playing golf and they enjoy it. And they were great partners as we were in that golf tournament. But they talked about, you know, when they were when they were at work, because they're now retired. I asked one of them, I said, have you always played golf? And he said, oh, no, I didn't play golf. I work way too much to play golf. And it was just a kind of another way of saying, no, I didn't have time for extra things.
Yep. And I remember one of those same guys saying, yeah, I remember missing so much of my kids' lives. I was on the road. They were traveling all over the country. So it's a little bit different than what you and I do all the time. But regardless, whether you're that person, whether you're sitting in the seat of running your own business right now, you know what we're talking about. Mm. You know, if I just said, be present, you probably knew what I was talking about. And our guest today is Chris Niemeyer. Chris is a coach, but he's not always been a coach. He was that guy that had a transformation, who woke up one day, and it came when his wife gave him praise. Mm. A lot of times we wake up when things are a slap in the face. This was a good thing. So I think you're going to really like that story he leads off with. But man, the nuggets he shares today and really the motivation that he shares today, I think you're going to get a lot out of.
Yeah. If you're looking for ways to be present, if you're looking for ways to not be the only one from the janitor to the CEO in your business, today's interview is going to probably hit home. So let's jump into our interview with Chris right now. Joey, if I wanted to be an expert, I'm maybe not an expert, but I still wanted to be knowledgeable on the whole concept of the infinite banking process. And I went to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. I got access for free because that's what you gave me because I'm listening to this podcast. What would I do in there in order to learn more?
Simple as pie. Go to the left-hand side, click on courses, and there you can find Infinite Banking 101 and Infinite Banking 201. Can't wait to see you on the inside.
That is at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
Welcome into the show. We have Chris Niemeyer live, man. Chris, so glad to have you on the show.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks, Joey. Thanks, Russ. Good to meet you guys.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure. I'm excited for this conversation because you bring a skill set that pretty much everyone listening to you right now needs, and that is how to take our entrepreneurial minds and brains and use it in a way that actually can add value back to our families. So
that's right. In fact, I would almost, and we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so I'm just going to kind of throw this on you, but Russ, one of the things Russ and I have been challenging each other to lately is to be present. Like if we can just remember those two words when we're with our families, when we're at our jobs, wherever we are, to be present. And you mentioned pre-show, there was a moment where you were on your way back from a trip to Greece with your wife. She turns to you and she says something that has made a tremendous impact on your life. What was that conversation?
Yeah. So it was her 40th birthday trip. We went 3.5 weeks all over the Greek islands. It was amazing. Right there, kind of shoulder season. So it was a little bit less crowded. We had our 4 kids with us, which was also pretty wild. especially like going trains, planes, and automobiles and ferries all across. But we just had this amazing trip. And on the way back, we're in the airport there, heading home. And she just kind of grabs me, pulled me aside and said, "You know what, honey? Thank you for not working on this trip." And I was telling you guys, it was the first time as a business owner and I guess 13 years that I never brought a laptop on a trip. And yeah. As a family, we travel a lot. We've been to about 40 countries. So we've traveled pretty extensively, even with young kids. But as that business owner, I was usually the one bringing my laptop with my phone, checking in, you know, sometimes periodically. And this was just a big, big moment and pivot point as a business owner to say, okay, this is what it needs to be like from now on.
Wow. But so you said that was never, not always the case. So that was something different, right? The way she talked to you, looked at you, whatever she did at that point, just dramatically changed in your mind. This is what it should look like.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That was different. That was the first time for me. So I'm a slow learner. I'll admit that, right? sometimes as guys, you know, we just have that worry that, oh, things are not going to break back home if I don't check in every day. And this was just proof in the pudding that the previous year's work to build a team and get them in the right spot was paying off.
So I want to dive into that, but that's not where the story begins, right? That's kind of the pinnacle moment there. And there's even some after that, but let's backtrack just a little bit. Okay. That's not where you started. You actually was not always an entrepreneur. You were working in the grand, beautiful area of politics at one point. Tell us a little bit about that.
And there's sarcasm
and,
all in
and,
that.
And what, we all can understand why you ran from that, but what is it that you learned in that that specific area of life that led you to entrepreneurship?
Yeah. So I was, for the first 5 years, my career was in the political world, working within the business niche of politics. So I ran at a young age, a young PAC, Political Action Committee. I was kind of the wealthiest PAC in Southern California between Orange County and San Diego. Essentially raising big bucks for funding candidates and causes that were important to business owners. So I had a board of 25 guys, all, you know, very well off. And my job was really to wine and dine them, take them out to their country club and ask for big checks.
Yeah.
So that sounds cool. like you just said, politics is a dirty world. I'm glad I'm out of it. Stuff you see on the news these days, quid pro quo and all that, it happens. I'm just going to tell you. Yeah. But I learned a lot from those business owners. And I realized, like, okay, I see the trajectory of this kind of job and this career, 24/7 connected to your phone and campaign after campaign. I don't want that. I want to be in their shoes. And it was that moment of, I got to scratch this entrepreneurial itch. And I had a couple of great business mentors at the time. One of them sat me down and I'm kind of discussing, how do I move and transition into something else? And he's like, you know, there's kind of three ways to build wealth. And he's like, you can go into real estate and, you know, there's development and all this other areas there. That's a way. You can go into the market in terms of, you know, I was working with a buddy on building up his hedge fund possibly. He's like, or you could own and operate a business. And he's like, I see your skill set as someone who can take something and make it big. And you just got to find out what that something is. What are you passionate about? So that led to that literal kitchen table experience where my wife and I sat down, took inventory. What are we decent at? You know, where do we have some skill sets? What are we interested in? And that was the start of our first business idea together.
So let me back up 1 second. I want to get to what happened at that kitchen table. But before that, you mentioned, I want what they're doing. You're talking about these guys at the boardroom table. What did you see about their lifestyle, whatever you want to call it, that attracted you and you said, okay, that's what I'm looking to do?
I saw the freedom and the flexibility of their lifestyle. And by that, I mean, I'm visiting them at multiple homes in Southern California that they own. I'm playing at their country clubs. I'm, you know, meeting at 11 a.m. at some beautiful area. These were not the typical guys grinding it in a C-suite. They had the ability to be on each other's boards. You know, these guys are very, very well involved in the community. And they're the ones writing the checks. And I said, okay, these are the kind of guys I want to be. I like that kind of lifestyle where you can choose what you want to be part of. That appealed to me. And just hearing them, I mean, kind of through osmosis, being around those guys, learning a lot about how they built their businesses, what they're doing to protect and grow their wealth. You know, finance has always been something that's been of interest to me, as in addition to real estate. They were all involved in these areas. And I'm like, that's the kind of lifestyle I want to live, where it's just the freedom and flexibility to choose.
Well, I love what you said too, that the advice that you got from your mentor was follow something that you're passionate about. And Joey and I talk about that a lot in here. It's that when someone is picking their path, it always has to start with, where's your skill set and what is something that you're passionate in? Because if you're not passionate about it, it's not going to probably be a success. It's not, you know, we may possess a skill set, but if we don't enjoy it, right? I could be a great reader, but I don't want to work in a library, right? Like we need to find something that we're passionate about. So when you and your wife sat down at the kitchen table and you said, what is this one thing that we're passionate about? What came out of that meeting?
Yeah. So again, we looked at like interests, skill sets, abilities, and she had a marketing background. I had more of the business kind of know-how and developing businesses and growing those and the finances behind it. But we were also passionate about travel and exploring the world that we frankly feel our creator created for us to enjoy. And then missions. We've both been involved in missions throughout, you know, growing up in our childhood, giving back to those others less fortunate. And so we just started doing some research and literally was like, you know, there's not a whole lot of people out here online. This is in 2006. So it was a little bit easier to kind of make a presence for yourself online. No one was serving the missions community in their travel coordination. There were a handful of people, but they weren't doing it very well and they weren't leveraging some of the new technology coming out. So we explored that and that's how we started missiontravel.org, our first business.
Wow. So it's kind of like all your worlds collided into that one business idea. And so it just kind of made sense. It was almost like a logical next step for you.
Yeah, it was. And it was literally one of those things. And this is kind of a funny story, right? So I had still pursuing on one side of the table, some real estate ventures, had, you know, $1 million committed for one of those. I had told you about the hedge fund, buddy, had another one of my investor guys who was like, oh, if you're going to do this, I'll put in your first million to kind of get you going. And then we're like, well, but let's just run with Mission Travel, see how it goes, right? I didn't ask my wife this about until about 2 or 3 years ago. And I said, honey, what were your feelings about starting that business? And like, did you think it was going to work? Like, she's like, you know, I had no idea. I was scared out of my mind, but I just trusted that like it was going to work. God was going to provide and we're going to run with it. I'm going, man, I'm glad I didn't share my feelings back then because we would probably just fallen apart like quickly.
Well, so talk about that a little bit, that there was some lessons that you learned in that time that led you to the moment that you got to a point where you could actually be free. Because we all know we've all started businesses and those businesses required a lot more time than our quote unquote 9-to-5 job did before. They're much more involved. You are now, I think you said this in our pre-show, you're the janitor all the way to the CEO. Everything requires your input. It requires your effort presence. Presence and effort in order to produce. So what all happened through those years from when you guys are sitting at that kitchen table until where you're coming back from Greece and she's like, thank you for being present. Thank you for not spending time on your laptop. How did you get from those from one place to the next?
Yeah, boy, that's about a 11-year journey, I guess. Yeah. So I won't go into all of that, but there was definitely some bruised knees and scars along the way. I'll tell you what, that first year, probably we had some of the most boring date nights because we were like, okay, let's have our beans and rice, you know, before we go out and do our date. So we were like, you know, scrimping. And our date nights were usually going to like Barnes and Noble. You know, she'd maybe go to the marketing section. I'm going to like SEO and web presence and online marketing. And like, we're just comparing notes, you know, we're just figuring it out in the process. I give my wife the credit. She was the one that came up with Mission Travel as the domain. And we bought it that night at the kitchen table. But it was a lot of learning how to build a presence for an online business. And so we did that very much SEO kind of keyword tooled so that people would find us. And then it was just that old fashioned, okay, who do we know that's our client avatar that we need to talk to? You know, we came from a private school university that had people that were going into ministry and such. So, well, let's call them. And so we started calling them, but I still remember that first sale from a total stranger. And it just was like exhilarating. You're just going, oh my gosh, someone found us online. They have no idea who we are, and we just made a profit. Like, this is cool.
Yeah. It's actually working.
It's actually working. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that was just the snowball effect of using your relationships. And then we had a pretty targeted online presence. So that just grew. We were profitable from year one onward. But to fast forward a little bit, yes, it was that realization, okay, I have created a really decent paying job for myself. I didn't want a job. I wanted a business. And so I'm the bottleneck in this. How do I get out of that? And through some trial and error of hiring, finding the right people, replacing myself as the top salesperson with someone else who could really take that role, it allowed me to get out of the weeds of working in the business and really start to work on it to systematize it to a bigger level.
What was it specifically that kind of made you wake up to that? Was there anything in particular, or was it just kind of a gradual, you knew that was what you needed to do and you just kind of slowly started replacing yourself? Like, I think of almost like the E-Myth process as you're talking of hiring yourself for each role and then replacing yourself. Is that a fair statement?
That's funny you should mention that book. That was a pivotal book. So I had hired maybe two salespeople prior to this. So I had, you know, a small sales team going. Maybe I'd hired a bookkeeper and some other like little independent contractors, but found out about this program that was sponsored by Goldman Sachs and Warren Buffett called the 10,000 Small Businesses Initiative. And so I applied. You had to be a business owner with a certain amount of employees, income level, and you couldn't have an MBA. They didn't want to have someone that had an MBA. So this was like real world business guys, and sponsored by Babson College. They've got the number one entrepreneurship program in the country. It's a 16-week program, mostly virtual, 2 weeks in Boston. It was all about how to set your business up for success without your daily involvement. And so it was very much the very first book we read was The E-Myth. And just understanding, like, this is where you want to get to. Are you the manager? Are you the technician? Or are you the true entrepreneur, business owner? And so that whole process really helped me identify, okay, I've got to make some changes here because I need to, I have an operations element that I do. I have the sales, I got the financial, I got all these areas of my business that I need to truly build the business to run without me so I can kind of stay up top at a sweet spot and then hire out the rest.
So what was the first seat that you got out of then? You talked about operations, finance, sales, management. What was the first one that you were able to hand off?
The biggest first one was a salesperson. So I hired a top salesperson in our industry. And that helped replace, for me, it was a little bit of comfort knowing that, okay, there's a person who's going to be profitable right away. Because I wasn't quite ready to hire like an operational, training type person, right? For the business.
Overhead. Yeah.
Overhead. Exactly. But once I hired her and knew that she was capable and she could train others, then I hired it was a fractional COO at the time. And after 6 months, I went, yep, she's the one. Let's hire her full time. She has really taken and run with building the business out, helping me identify areas where we could do a better job of systematizing, getting some better process procedures down for our employees. And they've in turn helped hire more sales staff.
Yeah. I mean, I was just listening to the book Fake by Robert Kiyosaki, and he talked about that. He talked about the need for sales, both as an entrepreneur and in businesses, right? I mean, that is the key, that business aspect. And if you're listening to this and you own a business and you're trying to figure out to do what Chris said, it's how do you get yourself out of that seat? Usually the last seat people get out of, which is, I'm loving the fact that you said it was the sales seat was the first one you're able to hand off. Because for most entrepreneurs, it's the last one. They hold on to that one for so long because that's the one that they probably was the most gifted at initially. That's amazing. That's a really unique thing that you were able to find somebody, know that that was the area that needed you out of it so that you could grow.
Yeah, it's a big part of the reason you've got to find sales to replace yourself for sure.
So talk us through now. That was kind of leading up to this event where you go to Greece with your wife and she looks at you and says, hey, thank you. Walk us through from now. So how many hours a week are you having to work in that mission travel business?
Yeah, I'm in that business about 6-7 hours a week max. I tend to have a couple of meetings a week with my director of sales, my COO, and then we've got like a weekly team call, just kind of a check-in. I still keep my foot on the pedal a little bit of the finance and some of the marketing, just to kind of check in with that, but really coaching those key employees on what are their needs, how can I support that, and then they run it without me.
Wow. Well, so you took that experience though from Greece, and you said, "All right, I think about this as a way that it can help other people than just me," and so that led you into another entrepreneur endeavor, which was the Entrepreneur Family Man. Correct?
Yeah, actually, that trip I think was just a month before we launched our podcast. We had been talking since February of that year, the guys that founded it with me, and just said, we need to share this message that you can have a business and design it around the lifestyle you want to live, not the other way around. Typically, we get it backwards as guys. And I was totally guilty of that initially.
Why do you think that is? I mean, it seems so simple when you say it, but I think to your point, it's almost kind of like this new idea to guys in general. I mean, why do you think that is?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think as guys, we do right and wrong. I think we are the provider. Like we're the provider protector, which is a great thing. But sometimes we rely on that so much, and we get validation from that so much as well. It's easy to see profit and loss grow or things are going the right direction. It's easy to be validated by that and put more time and energy and effort into that process. You guys know this because you're fellow dads with a lot of kids under your roof and a probably beautiful wife that you have. It's harder to find the measurable validation. Am I doing a good job as a husband? How's my fathering going? Am I present to your word, right? Am I engaged and intentional about that? So I think as guys, it's easy to swing to the business side because we have, again, the numbers validation, if you will.
So let's go into that. Let's dive into that because it's easy for us to have this conversation, really interested about the entrepreneur side of your story. But I think the part that is most needed is the part of how do we be more present at home? How do we find ways to pull ourselves out of the business and put ourselves more into the home? Talk to us about that. What are some nuggets that you can give us today that we can go and apply and be more present?
Yeah, well, some of it does get back to the business. And one of the things that I coach and consult around is exactly what we shared earlier about my journey is getting yourself out of the weeds of your business. If you have your hands in so many areas, I guarantee as a business owner, you're doing too much in too many areas of the business. You've got to find ways to get out of that. So that's as simple as identifying the exact process procedure that you're doing, all those activities. There's repeatable things you are doing in your business that you should not be doing anymore. And once you've got a system down, you delegate that, you hire that, you're freeing up more hours to either grow other areas of the business, which is fine, or be more present at home. And so I'm big on that and the systems around that and protecting time by really hard, fast time management rules as well.
Okay, because I was waiting because you just as an entrepreneur, you told me, man, I get more efficient. I'm going to get more effective. I'm going to have more time. And then my entrepreneur brain goes, well, I wonder what other business I could start if I had that time. Right? Right. So like how, so talk to me like your coach, you have business owners that you're working with. You said something there at the end that you got a time management tool that's going to say, but you got to put in family in this thing. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the conversations we have is where do you feel you're lacking in your home life? Where do you feel you want to be more present? And so we kind of have those conversations and then it's, well, what are the roadblocks there? What are you doing to stay in the office too long or get up too early and leave? What changes can you make to your schedule, right? So that's a lot about identifying the time. And what I do with my clients for 2 weeks, we do a time mapping, time inventory exercise where I have them write down every 10 minutes of their day what they're doing. That alone is eye-opening to a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah.
They find the gaps. They find the things that they're spending too much time doing. And I'll throw some tough ones out there for us, okay? I mean, whether it's checking phone and social media, whether it's, you know, watching ESPN too long or the game, whatever it's going to be, fantasy football, I don't care what it is. There are things that we do that if we really look hard on the paper and say, what would it look like to spend an extra hour with my kids this week? Or go on that extra date with my wife? What could I cut out? And when you see that inventory play out, you're like, oh, this is going to hit home a little bit harder when you see that some of the time sucks in our schedule.
Okay. So Chris, this, I don't want to totally put you on the spot here, but I am going to ask you, since you've talked to so many different business owners, entrepreneurs, you've probably had some super successful and some that just don't get it. They just can't get past. Maybe it's their old way of thinking. Maybe it's the rut that they've been in, whatever it might be. Can you think of a success story and one where it didn't matter? The coaching wasn't going to help them because of something that they were already dealing with. And you don't have to say, obviously, their names, but
Joey.
Come on. Let's just say one of their names was Joey. One of them there was Russ. Okay.
Yes.
Just for instance.
I got to be real careful who I say who.
But I mean, again, maybe there's some things you could talk about the person that was successful and the person that was not successful from your experience.
Yeah. I think of one guy who he had already had a side business going, wasn't actually a full-time entrepreneur yet, and had that dreaded commute each morning. And when we made some changes into his life and lifestyle and what he was spending time on, he finally realized, like, spending my 15 hours a week and he's exceeding 50% of his normal income. Like, man, you're already there. You could make the jump. If you had an extra 25 hours or so to spend in your building this business, you can do this. When he made that jump, and he's got two little boys at this point, one and a half, like a baby. I remember him coming back after we'd already finished our coaching period and agreement. He's like, dude, I have 21 meals a week with my family now. It's like, this is incredible. He goes, during my time where I'm, you know, usually on a commute, hating, like, my blood levels going through the roof just because I'm like heading over the bridge into that, you know, big office building. He goes, now I'm like on the floor with my boys playing cars and building blocks. He's like, this is incredible. So that's a cool story, right? The other one I've had, I think two that I can think of here is, even as entrepreneurs, we have been grown up in this lifestyle of, you know, go get a good job, work for 40 years, you know, get your golden watch. That employee mindset, even when you make the jump to entrepreneur, there's still residue. So a lot of guys feel guilty by not being productive from like 8 to 5 or 8 to 6. They feel like, boy, if I'm doing something outside of work, that just feels weird. And I can't wrap my head around that. Like, no, it's okay to, like, at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, go fishing with your kid or, you know, meet your family wherever they are. I mean, that is what a true lifestyle can look like. But I think there's just a residue that we have from that employee mindset that stunts some guys.
That is such a great term, residue. Like, it's a leftover. It's something that has continued to resonate with that person. So in those cases, is there something where you're talking with that guy and it's just obvious to you that, oh, this guy, he's not going to break out of this? Or is it, man, after a few sessions, I start to see them thinking differently or something like that?
Yeah, a lot of times in a true coaching relationship, you know, by the end of that call, after asking them questions and them reflecting and reviewing what their block is or whatever they're going to do for the next step, it's him saying, I'm going to commit to this next week or this next 2 weeks. And then when you check in that week or 2 weeks and you say, how's that going? Well, I didn't do that. And a coach can only give so much accountability. A coach can only give so much pressure. Ultimately, it's got to come from within. I mean, you can have all the consultants in the world tell you what to do, but you've got to own what it is you want to do to make those changes.
Yeah. Well, this is a powerful conversation. I want to go deeper, and I'm thankful that you're going to be in the community. You're going to do a live Q&A with us. So if you're listening to this and you're wanting to know some more of the tips that Chris has and how you can be a more successful entrepreneur from a coaching perspective, but also you want to hear about some of those moments where you were eating every single meal or at least half of them, Joey. I mean, you know, I don't know. Yeah. If I get 21 in, I still got another 7 in there, just protein bars, midday snacks. That, you know,
I'm with you.
I could do it with you. Okay, bro.
Yeah. This guy chokes down the protein bars. I'm saying, like, chases lunch with it. Yeah.
All right. But so
I'm with you, Russ.
So I'm grateful that you're going to be around to do that with us, but help us, like, just in your life, talk about just a recent event where you were able to live this lifestyle where not only were you present at work, but also present with the family.
Actually, the last 48 hours have been a great example of that. So yesterday, my wife had these both on the calendar, so I was kind of able to pick and choose. But yesterday, she took all 4 kids to SeaWorld. And, you know, it was 3.5 hours of driving and a full day. And I realized, you know what, I'm going to stay home this time. Because I will go with them to Disney and other parks and stuff, but I'm gonna stay home this time and just pound out a ton of work. And so yesterday, with 4 kids not here, I got a ton done. It was quiet for a change. Just got caught up on different projects. Planned a little bit more for 2020. Wrote 1,000 words in our upcoming book that's coming out next year. Just got a lot done. Had a great workout. Made myself a great meal. Had a protein shake. Right. It was a good day. Nice. And then today, I just got back into the office about an hour ago because they had another homeschool day just south of us at the Ringling Circus. So the Ringling Brothers have their big headquarters down here in Sarasota. So it's a massive estate with, you know, millions of dollars of art and galleries and all this. And so we just got to go and explore together as a family. And this is a Thursday morning, you know, lunch on the out in the park. So just that dichotomy of like working hard one day, leisure the next, but it's right within the same work week.
Dude, that's awesome. That's what it all looks like. And I'm grateful that you shared this story with us today. If I wanted to reach out to you and find out more about your coaching program as well as your podcast, tell us how we can do that.
Sure. Yeah. ChrisNiemeyer.com. And we'll probably put that in the show notes. And yeah. Then EFM Life. EFM Life is Entrepreneurial Family Man. And that's our podcast about what we talk about. We love our wives, we love our kids, but we still want to kill it in business.
I love that. I love that. And that's what attracted me to you just through our friend Andy. And on Facebook, I kind of got connected to you through that. And man, just grateful that you could share this because we talk a lot about building wealth. But the true wealth, I think we actually mentioned to you about this earlier, is really not all on the numbers on a dotted line or anywhere at the bottom line. It's within that wealth is right in front of us. It's right under our nose, under our roof. And so many of us can miss that. And so, man, I'm grateful that you're willing to share with us and be a part of our community. And hopefully that lots of entrepreneurs will connect with you to learn ways that they can do exactly what you've done. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Enjoyed the conversation. Thanks again for the invitation to have me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening as always.
All right, Russ. We're talking about how we need more time freedom. We want to stop trading time for money. We want to tell our daughter, no, I don't have to go to work today. What's standing in our way?
Bro, I can tell you this. It's not need, it's want. Mm. I absolutely want to say, yes, sweetie, I can stay home. I don't have to be there. But the thing is, I have to take control. If you're like me, you want to take control right now. Go to freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Jump on a 15-minute call with one of our coaches, and they will walk you through a path that will help you take the first step into being able to answer that question for the rest of your life, that no, I don't have to go because I have created time freedom through creating a process and a system that can get me there and get me there faster.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.